And welcome to Untold, the podcast where we go behind the scenes and uncover the untold stories of food and drink businesses. I'm Harry, founder of The Savourist.
I'm Mariana, founder of Hullabaloo. We want to uncover some of the stories from founders and business leaders that wouldn't normally be told. Everyone talks about the positives, the new launches, the NPD.
We want to hear about the not so great things, the nitty gritty and the emotional toll this can have on mental health. Over the next few months, we're going to be talking to founders and business owners about their untold stories.
Everyone goes through these challenging moments. It's a fact of life. It's time to talk about them and encourage others to do the same.
Hello and welcome to Untold. Today we have a fantastic guest with us, Mr. Jason Gibb.
Dr. Gibb is an experienced food and drink entrepreneur with a colorful career path that spans TV, books, chemistry, and olive oil. Jason co-founded Bread and Jam, the must-attend events for any aspiring food and drink entrepreneur. He's currently focused on launching a groundbreaking plant-based brand with some exciting NPD in the pipeline for 2021. Welcome, Jason. Thank you for coming on Untold.
Pleasure, absolute pleasure. Lovely to see you guys and looking forward to having a good chat.
So exciting. Jason, could you please introduce yourself and your career?
Tricky, but basically I started out as a bit of a science geek in my youth, really into the environment and the planet and saving the world. I did a degree in marine biology, then did a PhD in biochemistry with the kind of ambition of being a science communicator, being a kind of conduit between the science world and the general public. I wanted to be a kind of, a science communicator like David Attenborough or something like that. So I wanted to get into media. I did a bit of work at the World Service Science Unit, you know, the radio, BBC Radio, World Service. And then I got into telly, making science programs or kind of pseudoscience programs. I spent years, 8 years, working on a TV show called Scrap Heap Challenge, which was an awesome show to make. It puts two teams in a junkyard and they've got to make a machine out of junk and then race it against each other. And so it's got a bit of engineering and science in there, but was ultimately kind of light entertainment. Ended up working, making this show in Los Angeles, lived in Los Angeles for a few years, had a very cushy lifestyle over there, lived in the Hollywood Hills, just underneath the Hollywood sign, was making lots of money and driving a big fat SUV, but found the lifestyle incredibly shallow. Looking back on it now, what was I thinking? But at the time I was thinking TV wasn't really something that I felt was very wholesome, and actually the lifestyle in LA was kind of pretty shallow, but as I say, looking back on it, the sunshine, the money, it was great. But at the time I just wasn't into it. And so me and my partner, we used to go down to the farmers markets in LA, and there we discovered Californian olive oil. We got quite obsessed with it. We started kind of playing around with it and infusing it and trying all these different cultivars and varieties and stuff like that. And we kind of decided that, well, we both wanted to change of life, and I always wanted to make something with my hands that I could kind of be proud of. So we came upon this idea of making olive oil, and, you know, quitting our jobs and going back to the country and producing something. So we literally spent the next couple of years researching it, looking into it, working out where to do it. We bought an abandoned olive grove in Italy. We had a child in the middle of that. We moved, we quit our jobs. We moved to Italy, rural Italy on the East Coast in a region called La Marche, and started making olive oil. And that's how I got into the food world. And I've got lots of stories to share about that, and being at the very bottom, feeling incredibly lonely, feeling incredibly incompetent and useless. We moved there. We didn't speak much Italian. We had no experience of running a business. We knew nothing about agriculture. We really put ourselves in a crappy situation, and it was really tough. But I ended up, Kathy, my partner, we did that together for a few years, and then I carried on the business, this olive oil business, on my own for 10 years in total. Then sold that business, and went traveling around the world for several months, which was meant to be time to kind of work out what I wanted to do next. I still hadn't a clue, but then came back from that trip feeling very strongly about kind of community. That's one thing that I really missed at the beginning of my food journey was, I mean, that was back in 2004. There wasn't really, you know, much Facebook. There were no resources online. I was very lonely. And a friend of mine, actually, so this is when I was running the olive oil business. A friend of mine back in England called Charlotte Knight, she started organizing these founders dinners where it would be like 20 founders having dinner together. And it was the best experience ever. Sitting in a room with people who were going through the same shit as me, facing the same challenges, and being able to share that and support each other. That was really unique then. And there were brilliant brands that I was with. It was kind of people like Goo guys, Peppersmith, Rebel Kitchen, Joe and Seth's, people like that, sitting around with them, Jimmy's Iced Coffee. And I always wanted to kind of, that was such an important thing to me. I always wanted to kind of recreate it on a bigger scale. So when I finished the olive oil business, that was something in my mind. How do I replicate this support network on a bigger scale, more accessible? Because we are in a community where people really are up for supporting each other. Peer-to-peer knowledge sharing, peer-to-peer support is absolutely fundamental to what we do. So that kind of evolved into the Food Hub, so the Food Hub is a online community of food and drink entrepreneurs. It's on Facebook. We've got 10,000 people on there, mixture of food and drink entrepreneurs, industry experts. And so I started that up. Then I started up Bread and Jam with a co-founder called Tara May. And Bread and Jam is again about building a community really of support and training. When I first started my olive oil business, I had no idea what I was doing. Absolutely made every single step up along the way. There was nothing, there was no resources out there. There's nothing I could go and read. And I thought, I mean, you know, I'm not the first one to do this. Loads of people have done it. Why isn't it written down somewhere? Why aren't there any workshops or talks on this kind of stuff? So that's how Bread and Jam evolved. So that's Bread and Jam. And then the vegan brand that I'm doing, I spent, I mentioned that I was really into environmental stuff, you know, early on, and that has always been at the heart of that. Something has touched my soul, kind of doing something for the planet. I got three kids. I see that we're screwing things up big time. I really worry about their future, and I want to do something about it. I want to do something with my life that at the end of the day, I can come home and think, you know, I've done something positive for the planet. And I actually went back to uni a couple of years ago to do a master's in sustainability, and with an idea of, you know, maybe I want to do something entrepreneurial in sustainability in transport or sustainability in energy or waste or whatever. And I kind of realized that actually what I really know about is food and drink. So there are loads of things that you can do around sustainability in that area. And I decided, you know, penny dropped that one of the most important things we can do as individuals to kind of mitigate the climate crisis is to cut down on our meat and dairy. And so why don't I do a food business that kind of promotes a plant-based diet, is focused on flexitarians. So for the last couple of years, I've been playing around with various manifestations of that. I think I kind of cracked it with a good brand, and we got some really exciting things coming out in the next few months. So I'm totally excited about that. So that was much more than 2 minutes.
No, it's great to hear. It's good to hear. I think from our side, and for our listeners, Untold is around uncovering some stories that have affected founders or business owners on an emotional level. Obviously, we all inherently gravitate towards talking about how great the business is, but what we really want to hear about is a specific moment that really took its toll on you emotionally. And how you kind of got through that moment. I know you spoke about being in Italy and how that was incredibly tough. I mean, do you want to elaborate on that, or is there something that you would like to share with us that goes more into the emotional side of food and drink?
Yeah, I mean, I've been trying to think about what got me through that period. Obviously, I was running the business with my partner, my life partner, and we very much helped each other get through that. It was incredibly lonely, incredibly challenging, but I suppose I fell back on that whole thing that entrepreneurs are meant to have, which is kind of this single-minded perseverance and stubbornness, and I definitely had that. I think that one of the learnings also from that I often repeat to myself was that first business, I kind of think you need to get your first business out of the way and move on, because for me personally, that first business was so close to me. It was the business was called Nudo. It still exists. It was me. The money in the bank account was my money. The unhappy customers were unhappy with me. I just felt so close to it and tied up in it that I could not, at the end of it, I couldn't make rational decisions. I couldn't step away from it and make good decisions. I screwed up so many times. And with subsequent businesses, I've talked about some of them, but I've put my heart and soul into them. Don't get me wrong, but I kept a certain distance.
Yeah.
So I knew that I could kind of walk away from them. But you know, I still take everything very personally, but I don't, there's a kind of slight, I was trying to think how to describe it, a slight kind of veneer around my heart with them. I won't let it go as deep as I did, because I just know that I couldn't make the right decisions. I couldn't see the wood for the tree often with that first business. And I made so many decisions that ultimately made things worse. That I don't want to repeat that again. You know, the relationships that I built up with that olive oil business, the suppliers and stuff, they were like friends. And some of them were charging me too much, but I couldn't move from them, because I felt a friendship with them, and just, you know, just things like that.
So if we just think back to that business, if we talk about that, then to sort of the beginning phase of it, there was some phase where it felt like it was going really well. But at what point did you realize that this was actually sort of a challenge, or that you were too close to the business? Like what kind of changed? Because I'm sure when you first started your olive plantation, it was all, or I would imagine, in sunny Italy, it was all excitement for a bit.
Well, I wouldn't say that. I mean, I think every single stage was pretty damn painful. But, that you know, obviously there was an excitement with getting our first listing, getting Selfridges, getting our first customers, getting our first press. There was loads of momentum. And I suppose when it became most damaging was when it kind of, well, there are two things I suppose I could talk about. When it kind of plateaued, I kind of have this little rule to myself now that if the business isn't flying after 3 years, it's not going to fly. And mine kind of, you know, the trajectory is really good, and then it plateaued. And I just, because I was so close to it, I didn't know when to quit or to move on or to realize that I'd taken as far as I could. And I think that was because I just couldn't give it up. And then the other point at which it came really bad was when I got a kind of, I got someone involved in it. So my partner, she went back to working in telly. I was running it on my own, and then I kind of didn't want to run it completely on my own. So I got someone quite senior in, and that was, I learned a lot about myself through that. It was a pretty toxic relationship. I thought I kind of respected him as what he was doing in the business, but I never particularly liked him. And I'm also, what one thing I realized about myself, I'm a pleaser. I want people to be happy. I want to kind of impress people. And he was a bit of a bully. And I think with my personality trait, they were a very bad combination. And I did a lot of things or made a lot of decisions that weren't good because of that kind of toxic relationship. And it ended up going really, really, really bad. He got some, you know, I don't want to say too much because he might listen, but it ended up costing me a lot of money and a lot of tearful nights, if you want to know the truth. And then I got, actually at the very end of that business, I got into another relationship, which was also quite kind of bullying. And that's when it really clicked that I've got to be careful about who I work with. I got to understand myself and understand where my weaknesses are. And there are certain types of people I can't work with because it's going to go wrong.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's one of the hardest decisions to make, really, who you end up working with on a senior level. Just in terms of that relationship, when did you realize things started going south? Did it come from the gut? Was it something that you could feel internally and emotionally, or was it just a continuous letdown from his side or her side?
You know, the ridiculous thing is that I knew straight away, in my gut, in my heart, I knew straight away, and I didn't listen to that. I was too on this kind of thing. I was too in this mode where, right, I really want to grow this business. This is an exciting person. You know, he's got all the gift of the gab. You know, it doesn't matter that my alarm bells are ringing, because the prize is so big. So I knew straight away that it wasn't someone that I kind of respected, and I should have listened to that.
Yeah.
But you know, and it's funny, you know, you say that it's one of the hardest things you do, but I've got two business partners at the moment, one with Bread and Jam and one with Unruly. And, you know, with both of them, it was quite a gut thing, actually. I didn't do any due diligence on them. I didn't, you know, spend much time umming and ahhing about it, but I just kind of, I like them. And, you know, of course it's not without its ups and downs, absolutely, but it's gone really well. So for me, I suppose, you know, it's about trusting your instincts.
Yeah, fantastic.
Yeah, I guess from a business perspective, that's definitely, you know, the big learning from that. How long did that last, sort of the difficulty with the co-founders, and like how did you manage emotionally during that time? What did you find helpful in terms of getting yourself to keep on going and in terms of also
the issue? In terms of what, sorry?
In terms of resolving resolving the issue, like, and getting on with your business, and, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what I learned. I learned from what techniques, you know. I used to come home every evening and just bitch about it to my partner. that was not particularly helpful. I was like a broken record, and she was like, "Look, why the hell aren't you doing something about it?" I tried lots of different things. I tried talking about it. I tried setting, you know, targets that we both agreed on. I mean, I think the other fundamental issue with that that could never be resolved was how we didn't have like equal shareholding. So this was with the olive oil. Yeah, with the olive oil. He bought some shares in the business, and he had some shares in the business, but it wasn't an equal, we weren't equally invested. It was kind of my baby and he was bolted on. And with both Bread and Jam and Unruly, it's very clear that, you know, we're 50-50 and we're all equally invested. And for me, that's quite a fundamental thing. Although another thing that I kind of learned from the olive oil business was that, I'm going to kind of contradict myself a little bit, but, you know, the shareholdings and stuff, like, is going back to how this business was me. Every single share was part of me, and kind of selling that to someone or giving it to someone was like cutting off my arm and giving it to them. I just kind of, it was all blown out of proportion. It was too close to me. But something I do kind of very much believe in is having a co-founder, having someone there with you. One of the key things is to have someone that I think you kind of want to impress, and they want to impress you, so you kind of up your game a little bit. I think that's kind of one important aspect of it.
Absolutely. I mean, I think I'm a sole founder. I haven't got a business partner, and it's something that I think I genuinely miss and would love to have at some point. And it's incredibly inspirational hearing from someone those stories, especially on the emotional side of things. I think I tip my hat to you, because it's incredibly brave coming on and being able to open up like that. I think the more we uncover other stories, it will hopefully encourage other founders and business leaders to talk about it and really address those mental health problems. I think it's something that isn't spoken about. Everyone talks about the, as we said, the new launches and the kind of Tesco's listing or the Sainsbury's listing and LinkedIn and Facebook and Instagram. It's all incredibly exciting, and it's all there's a massive mask there, and we really want to sort of uncover that. And you've done a fantastic job at explaining those emotional moments. So thank you for being so brave and giving us your time. It's been fantastic to kind of go through these moments with you, and hopefully we can share and inspire other people to do the same.
Absolute pleasure. You know, it's tough out there. I think, you know, the whole stories that you see on Instagram and LinkedIn, it's part of the game that people play. You just got to understand that, you know. I'll be doing it, you know. We do it with Unruly and stuff. It's part and parcel, but I think most food entrepreneurs are willing to open up, and maybe on a more private level. I don't know what the response will be to this kind of people speaking more publicly, but you know, don't be fooled that everyone's absolutely flying. We're all full of doubt, we're all screwing up, we're all making up as we go along, and if you say otherwise, you're not being that honest.
I completely agree. Well, thank you so much for coming on Untold, and really, really, really fantastic chat. And we look forward to speaking to you soon.